always puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Sunday. And you know what that means. It's time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. He joins me now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
So tell us, remind us what the clue was from last week.
Well, last week I said we were going to be visiting an abandoned palace in Winnipeg's North End.
Do tell.
Well, what I meant was an abandoned theater called The Palace.
Gordon, I was thinking about this majestic palace down Main Street. You fooled me.
Oh, unfortunately, this place is not majestic.
So tell us about this place.
Well, it's been vacant now for at least 15 years, but it goes back 105 years, and it's an example of what we could call neighborhood theaters.
Okay. What's a neighborhood theater?
Well, we have to think about how people would get entertainment 105 years ago. I mean, at one time, of course, there wasn't things like the internet, things like television.
Yeah. What is this time you talk of? About Krabby Steve's? There was Krabby Steve's.
There was Krabby Steve's. That was the form of entertainment. True. But if you wanted a little more docile, a little more sort of passive entertainment, you would go and sit and watch and be entertained by things like vaudeville. You know, vaudeville was live entertainment. It was music. It was comedy. It was gymnastics, animal acts. It was a whole series of things. You would come and be entertained. And so for decades, starting sometime around the 1880s and right up until about the 1930s, all over Winnipeg, and in fact, all over Manitoba, there were communities that had these vaudeville theaters where you would go and be entertained.
So who are the performers? I love this idea because Winnipeg has such a strong arts community here.
That's
I love
right.
that it's always been there
well,
at the community level.
I don't know that it would have been necessarily a resident population. In fact, a lot of these performers were transitory. They would come, they would perform here in Winnipeg, then they would go on. You know, there's all kinds of very famous people who had stopped here. I mean, people like Harry Houdini and later Bob Hope. And, because that was a stop on the vaudeville circuit. You know, you would travel around the continent performing in these various vaudeville theaters. So that was the situation at the very beginning of the 20th century, and that's what was the case when the palace was constructed in 1912. It was built on Selkirk Avenue, of course, a very active, vibrant community, and it was a way for those people to have entertainment. But actually, by the time it was built, there was already sort of a newcomer on the scene. So live entertainment was popular, but going back actually to 1899, we already saw the beginnings of its replacement of the live entertainment. There was a fellow named Schuberg came to Winnipeg and put up a tent along Main Street. He painted the tent black so as to exclude as much light as he could, and he showed a moving picture.
Wow.
Of course, a movie.
Yeah.
And of course, it was silent. There was no sound accompanying it, but that was a fairly short-term thing. We, of course, got into the talkies as you get into the 20th century. So these live theaters that had been built for vaudeville entertainment realized, well, hey, there's an additional source of revenue we could pick up. So in addition to the stage, most of these theaters would have had a stage at the front. They would have had an orchestra pit where you could have this sort of musical accompaniment. They would put up a screen at the back of the stage so that they could then project these movies as well. So that's what happened to the Palace Theater. They actually started showing movies. They actually added a balcony because initially the capacity of the palace was around about 600 people, which is
a lot.
It's a large theater, sure. The balcony added another 200 people. So it had a capacity of 800 people, which gives you some indication of just how popular this was.
Who owned this place?
It was owned by a guy named Jacob Miles. And he was he became a real popular figure in the sort of movie business here in Winnipeg. By its height, he owned 18 theaters around the city. And again, that gives you some idea of just how popular these theaters were, to have 18 of them around the city. Well, it turned into a movie theater in sort of the 20s. It was movies through the 20s, 30s, 40s. It started to sort of wane in the 1950s because, of course, we have a new technology on the scene, television, right? And of course, so whereas in the 40s and 50s, if you were a kid, for example, you'd go Saturday morning to the movie theater and you'd watch cowboy movies. Maybe you'd watch mysteries of various kinds, cartoons. Of course, if you want to watch cartoons, you'd go to the local, neighborhood theater. But now that you have television in your home, maybe it's the 1950s, you can watch your cartoons Saturday morning there. So the movie theaters began to wane. And so the end of these neighborhood theaters really came in the 1960s. Well, in fact, the palace itself closed in 1964. And like a lot of the other theaters around the city, it was repurposed. You know, a lot of the other theaters became something else. Mm-hmm. So listeners may recall, of course, that the Uptown Theater on Academy, it became a bowling alley. Yep. The Roxy on Henderson Highway, likewise, a bowling alley. We have the Tivoli Theater. People may not recognize that name, but it was on Maryland, right opposite the Westminster Church, and it's now a grocery store. So a lot of these other theaters were turned into something else. So likewise, the Palace was turned into a department store. So they went in, they gutted it essentially. They took out the stage, they took out the balcony, virtually all of the interior walls. So basically turned it into a great big cavernous space that they turned into a department store. It was later an auction house. It was a furniture warehouse. It was a bargain store. But by the 1990s, it had fallen on hard times. So as far as I can tell, it was closed by the mid-1990s. A local community group came forward and they wanted to turn it back into a live theater again. That's kind of neat,
yeah.
Bringing it back to sort of its theatrical roots. But it doesn't sound like that initiative came to fruition because it's been vacant since at least 2002, in fact, probably before that even. Say there's not much left of it that would even tell you that it had been a theater, except if you look on the outside and the exterior, there's a marquee and it still says 5-star entertainment. So
that's great.
You know, of course, that it, say, at one time was a very active part of the community.
Gordon, thank you so much. That was great.
You're welcome.
What do you have for us next week?
Well, next week we're going to visit a very extensive area of wetlands in southeastern Manitoba. And starting in 1909, it was turned into one of the largest dairy farms in all of North America.
Excellent. Gordon, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Will do.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.